Well, I said this a moment ago. Aaron Suttles, you know who your friends are. Friends come on your show. Good friends come on your show during vacation. Man, you're unbelievable.
It's my pleasure, Chris. I couldn't think of a better spot to do an interview from, though, right now than my view looking out at Parrot Cove down here in Orange Beach.
Good for you. I won't mess up the sounds of the ocean and the Gulf by talking to you very long, but I do appreciate you coming on. I want to get your reaction. I know you're on vacation, but I'm sure you checked out some stuff on the web. Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the ACC, yesterday at their media days, making some interesting comments, to say the very least, basically going after the NCAA, saying, quote, cheating pays, end of quote, in the NCAA these days, and he doesn't see it getting much better in the future. He's talking a lot about enforcement. Just want to get your reaction to that.
When I first saw it, I was stunned, because you don't see many commissioners speak with that kind of language. And I think right now you kind of have to feel emboldened, I guess, if you're him, given the power play and the move toward autonomy for the Big Five power conferences. But I just, when I read those statements, I asked myself, could I see Mike Slyer saying that? And I just couldn't. And I don't know if that's because, of his, Mike Slyer's background and his experience and with NCAA matters, but I just found it an odd statement to make, given the platform, given his conference is the latest national champion and all the positives they could take from that, to take a stand on that and a platform for that. I'm sure there's an agenda somewhere. I just found it very odd, to say the least.
Let's, and we're talking with Aaron Suttles, Tuscaloosa News beat writer, on our Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Nick Saban was asked about that by Colin Cowherd. We're going to hear his comments a little bit later, and as he's going through the car wash there at ESPN today in Bristol. But he was really taking a totally different approach from Bowlesby. But he said, look, I hear all these comments, but I don't see it. They're doing a better job, but he thinks, of policing, not necessarily them policing themselves, even though he talks at length and glowingly about the enforcement and compliance staff they have in place at Alabama. And just as you said, Mike Slive made it his deal when he came in as commissioner of the SEC to clean it up. And, Aaron, the reality is, more so than ever, if somebody is getting something illegally, you're going to find out about it more quickly, thanks to social media, programs like this, websites, newspapers like yours. There's more attention. It's almost impossible to hide that stuff now, isn't it?
It's certainly more out in the forefront. I think the common fans' problem with it, and I know Alabama fans can speak to this, is just the lack of consistency in enforcement. Alabama gets hit pretty hard when they go before the committee, and other schools have gotten off a little with a little less enforcement, I guess you'd say. And then, Miami, or USC, rather, Southern Cal, how they would feel about it. They get hit pretty hard. So I think that's the main problem with it, is from the outside looking in, is that there's just been a lack of consistency in enforcement. And that's not surprising, because you see, as you mentioned, Alabama has a very large compliance staff. They're very good and very diligent in what they do. But you've also seen institutions hire away people with NCAA enforcement staff experience. And so that department, like anyone, you take away experienced people from an agency like that, there's only natural there's going to be some, some growing pains, I guess, is one way to put it. But you just never know what you're going to get with the NCAA. And I point to North Carolina. Didn't they just recently, they now open that case back up? I know that's academic scandal, and that's completely different than an illegal, impermissible benefits one. But the biggest problem is people just don't know, because the NCAAs, they're not really in the business of letting you know where they are in investigation, if they're going to be investigating. So, and even when they do, just the lack of consistency in knowing how the enforcement is going to be doled out is something that's frustrated a lot of people, over the last 20 years.
Aaron Suttles, Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. All right, you had a great, great story in the T News this weekend. It's on their site right now, again, at TideSports.com. Hard to believe that not only is Nick Saban the longest tenured head coach at Alabama since Bear Bryant. Good grief, he is now behind the Bear and Frank Thomas, third longest in the history of the school.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And actually, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I was, for some reason, I was looking at the, you know, I was looking for a story out of SEC Media Days, and so much of that, the stories, you can read every story 15 different ways, it seems, from that event. But I was looking for something that maybe no one else would have. And one thing that jumped out to me is just at the SEC right now, within the SEC, the coaches, you know, Mark Richt's been at Georgia going on his 14th year. I know Pinkel has not always been in the SEC, but he's going to be at Missouri now for his 14th year. Spurrier and Les Miles are now in their 10th. I'm thinking, you know, a conference where it's pretty doggone tough to stick, given the competitiveness, we've now got some coaches that are sticking around a while, and I you know, pulled up Saban. And then I got to thinking, well, man, this season he's going to pass Stallings, you know, for the longest tenured coach since Bryant. And it stuck with me that, you know, I don't think many people realize this. And it automatically went back, you know, to that January day in 2007 when Alabama hired him, and how many prognosticators or people that were doubtful of Saban, saying, you know, he'll never last there 5 years. And it's understandable because up until this point in his career, he had never lasted at any place as an assistant or a head coach longer than 5 years. Alabama's the longest duration he stayed anywhere. It just stuck with me. And now it's a little easier to take him at his word when, you know, when he turns down a Texas, that he's committed to Tuscaloosa, he's committed to the University of Alabama. And you don't hear people as much anymore saying, oh, yeah, well, he'll be gone because he's a nomad. Well, now he's stuck around, and he's had a lot of success in Alabama. I think it's now people are starting to take him at his word that he's going to be here for probably the remainder of his career.
I love how you start the article off. First line, in 5 years, he'll be gone. Could you put that at the end of your column and make it almost a prediction?
You know, it's impossible to know what drives Nick Saban. Because at this point, he's accomplished everything there is to accomplish in the college game. At a place where a head coach was thought that no one could ever approach him, and Coach Bryant, Nick Saban is now being mentioned in the same breath. So it's interesting. You know, I don't know how much longer what left there is for him to prove. Obviously, you know, if he's interested in a personal legacy, maybe he's chasing history. Maybe he's trying to get tied Coach Bryant with 6 national championships. You know, obviously he has 4, 1 at LSU, 3 at Alabama. Maybe it's the fact that he hasn't been as successful maybe in the SEC and won as many SEC titles as he'd like. But I do genuinely think he loves recruiting. I do genuinely think he likes the personal development side of college football, watching 17, 18-year-old kids come in and leave 22-year-old men. I think that he really enjoys that. And he's mentioned that several times on why he prefers the college game to the National Football League. So, but you just never know. You know, his contract will run him, I believe, until 2022. But does he stick around that long? Who knows? Because I don't see him moving into the administration side of college athletics. I don't see him moving into an athletic director's role. I think when he finally decides that he's done, that he'll retire to Lake Burton, Georgia, and get on his jet skis and his boats. But, right now, he seems, you know, he's a very young-looking 62 years old. I don't think anyone could say he actually looks 62 because he's tremendously good shape. And I know the stress of a major college job wears on you, but he's no worse for the wear. So I can see him riding out the duration of his contract, really.
Great story, and greatly appreciate the time. I always do. You're very generous with your time on this show. But man, for you to mess up that scenery you got going at the beach to spend a few minutes here, I really do appreciate it. I hope you have a great rest of your vacation.
I appreciate you calling, Chris. Take care.